Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Welcome to the Nerd Party Network and the deepest corner of the Star Wars universe. We are Aggressive Negotiations, the podcast known for exploring, plumbing the depths of the Star Wars galaxy. I am one of your hosts, Jedi Master John Mills. And with me, as always, is the absolutely stunningly gorgeous human being, Jedi Master Matthew Rushing.
What? Me?
Yeah, you, man. You've got that hair. That hair, man.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, ow.
You know, if I could find a way to transplant it onto my head, then I'd be unstoppable. I'd be like a supervillain.
That's true. Maybe that's why God, you know, made the switch. Like, you know, John needs to, he needs that one thing, you know, to keep him down.
He wanted to keep me humble. But actually, I will relay before we get into this week's topic. There was a barbershop of all places when I was growing up that had a sign in it. And I've probably told this story before on wherever else, but there was a sign in the barbershop that said, "God made a few perfect heads, on the rest he put hair." And back when I was a teenager and I saw that, I was like, ha ha ha, that's just somebody. And now I think about it and I say, yeah, you're gosh darn right, that's what he did. Yes.
Hey, John, yes. You know, if you want to cover your body with something, though, you know what you should be
What's
doing?
That?
Is going over to thenerdparty.com and click in store, and you can get nerdparty.com merch and even better, Aggressive Negotiations merch.
That is a great, great point. You know, we've got a whole store, and it is fantastic. You're absolutely right, Matt. So go to nerdparty.com and seek out the store, and it'll take you there to our Redbubble store, and you can order the merchandise. It helps the network. This is essentially a volunteer effort, but we like to keep the microphones powered up and the lights on. So go on over to the store and help us out. But another way you can help us out is if you go to Apple Podcasts and look up Aggressive Negotiations. If you haven't had an opportunity yet, please, by all means, give us a star rating and review. If you give us a star rating, thank you. If you give us a star rating and review, we can thank you publicly on the air for the review that you write. So we would appreciate that as well. And if you're going to go to that effort, you can always reach out to us if you want to. Go to nerdparty.com/contact, look up Aggressive Negotiations. You can reach out on Twitter at Join Nerd Party for the network, at The Jedi Masters to talk directly to the show. And you can go over to Facebook as well, facebook.com/TheNerdParty, and look for The Nerd Party on Instagram. We can be reached many, many, many ways. But speaking of reaching out to people, speaking of getting the message out there, Matt, this week's topic is spurred by a lot of discussion that we have had, and that I'm sure that others have had, about the pending marketing campaign for Star Wars Episode 8, The Last Jedi. I think that there is an understandable sense of dread at times with marketing campaigns nowadays, because we never know what we're going to get hammered with and what we're going to see in terms of restraint or crossovers, or, you know, am I going to be in the checkout line and I'm going to see, you know, Star Wars The Last Jedi on a bag of Doritos, as well as a bag of breath mints, as well as, you know, all of those sorts of things.
A can of Pepsi.
How many collectible cans were those with the characters?
Like 27 or something. Yeah. It was crazy.
They even had, you know, did you get the Pepsi can that had the guy who swept the floors in the Galactic Senate? Because I'm pretty sure that was a character.
That's my favorite can. Yeah, I love that can.
Just popped on the blue background. What can you say?
Eric Sonata, I think it was his name. I'm just making that up.
No, it's canon now, Matt.
It is. Yeah. Somebody tweet Pablo, ask him.
Yes, please do. You know, that's sort of the thing. We had a poll over on the Jedi Masters asking people about, you know, are they going to read the Entertainment Weekly article and stuff like that. I wanted to get your take. I mean, Star Wars has a long, well-known history of being a marketing juggernaut. As we're entering into the marketing phase of Episode 8, what's your feeling? How are you going into this?
Yeah, that's a great question, John. So I just wanted to mention we're gonna start doing some a lot of polls, basically, and part of it is just I love the interaction, and we did this poll on our Twitter handle, the Jedi Masters, and asked, are you going to be reading the EW article on Star Wars: The Last Jedi? Because a few days ago, when all the stuff started to explode about it, I couldn't get away with it. Like, it was on every Twitter account. It was on everybody's Facebook. Pictures and all this stuff coming out. All this information that they're giving about the movie. And so, just quickly, the results of the poll, it's final now. We had 20 votes in it. And 40% said yes, 50% said no, and 10% said maybe. I think I'm the person that voted maybe, and because I might read it, I might not, I'm not sure yet, but part of it was the whole reason of thinking about this, and John, you asking me that question, like, do I want to know stuff before I go into the movie? Will it help me to be more comfortable with the movie, or am I better just kind of going in completely blind and maybe only, you know, reading the new Phasma, the book that's going to come out, they're going to have that Leia book that's going to come out, I know I'll read that. The comic about Phasma, about how she got off, you know, the Starkiller base, and you know, so I got a few things that I'll pick up and read, right? But one, I've already noticed the marketing seems to be quite different. Like, we haven't even had a second trailer yet, and I mean, we're gonna have Force Friday, but there's something about it. It feels like it's almost been. I don't know if it had felt, until this EW article came out, it felt very secret. Like, we didn't really know anything, just like we didn't with The Force Awakens. But I felt like The Force Awakens marketing was just at such a level already, mm-hmm. because everybody was so excited. And I don't know. It feels like we're in a different streamline right now. Like, we're in a different warp stream or something. Like, it doesn't feel quite as massive and overbearing as it did even for episode 7. At least that's my feeling at this exact moment.
I think that episode 7's ad campaign really got out of hand in, I want to say fall of that year. The way I recall it is people were talking about it already without anything because people knew it was coming out. Everybody was excited. Oh my gosh, Star Wars isn't over. It's coming back. And so people, I think, were keyed up already. I agree with you that the tone seems to be a little different now. And I've actually been thinking about it in terms of the tone of Phantom Menace versus Attack of the Clones. Because I remember specifically Lucasfilm citing lessons learned from the lead up to The Phantom Menace. That by the time The Phantom Menace came out, people were actually starting to, there was like almost a blowback factor starting because you couldn't escape it in that month leading up to the release date of The Phantom Menace. Whereas Attack of the Clones was a bit more selective about, you know, who they partnered with, how they marketed and those sorts of things. I don't know that I would say that episode 8 is going to end up the same way, where it's a little bit calmer. But part of what plays in my brain is it a natural sort of thing? Because we obviously know Phantom Menace wasn't greeted as warmly as they had anticipated. Is it possible that with a scaled back ad campaign and those sorts of things with episode 8, are we seeing, especially since Rogue One happened in the interim, are we seeing that there were, you know, Force Awakens was a huge hit. Is it possible that there are enough people who were lukewarm on it at the end of it all that they're pulling back because it's not the same level of interest that it was back then?
That's a really good question because I feel like, especially in light of Rogue One, you know, I feel like a lot of people came out of Rogue One and felt like, oh, that's what Star Wars feels like. Even more so, I felt like, than like a lot of people really enjoyed, The Force Awakens, but they came out of Rogue One and just, there was something about it where they're like, oh, okay, that's it, you know? And everything I'm seeing for The Last Jedi seems to be about how this one's going to be the one that shocks you. You know, it's going to be, you know, even Hamill has talked about like how, you know, he didn't see the character of Luke going the way that he does in The Last Jedi. It took him a while to kind of get used to the idea of that's where the character is going to go. And Daisy Ridley talking about how it's unexpected, but it's right. Like everything we're hearing is just that it's different. You know, that's a completely different tone than what we heard in The Force Awakens marketing, at least, which was it's everything you remember and love.
The word that they overused in the marketing campaign with that was the word delight. I remember specifically the origin point of that was Kasdan saying in an interview, or at least my origin point encounter with it, was Kasdan saying in an interview that every scene was filled with delight and it was designed to delight the audience. And then I remember Abrams saying, oh, we wanted to delight the audience, and people saying, oh, I was delighted by what they did. And so you're almost making me think, oh, gosh, is unexpected the word that's going to get overused going into, because there's almost a tradition in Star Wars of overusing a certain catchphrase leading up to the release of a film. I remember with Sith, they kept talking about darkness. And it was sort of like by the time it came out, I was like, okay, yes, I know it's going to be dark. Okay, guys, let's pull back on that. But I just, for me, what I'm interested in is the marketing campaign. What makes me, I don't know, what makes me wonder about it is that the shift I saw from 99 to 2002 was, do you remember George Lucas Selects? On the website, they would release stills, photographs that Lucas had specifically selected as teaser images. And right. I don't know if you had to be like a hyperspace member or something like that, because, you know, God rest hyperspace. You know, you were fun while you lasted. But the shift that I want to see, because especially because I know that Rian Johnson is a photographer at heart as well. Because, you know, they showed his photos that he took on set and stuff like that.
Yep.
I want to see a marketing campaign more like what they did with Attack of the Clones. I don't want to see this become another constant barrage of, you know, 15-second clips where I can eventually play them all in a row and I've pretty much got the whole movie played in front of
me. Right.
I want to see them go toward a more artistic thing. And you know what? You want to get people hyped up about the movie. Share some of Rian Johnson's photographs. Just put those out there. This is behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah, I saw a few of them at Celebration. They showed some of his photographs and it was incredible.
Right. And I think that that's a bet. I mean, you can't make a commercial out of that necessarily, but I really do hope that they stay with a lower key approach to things. I mean, we've already seen what's interesting is that we've already seen, I'm going to call it the Porg happening, is that's already come out. And that was undoubtedly to prep the audience for the Porgs so that there wouldn't be a cuteness backlash when the film came out. Because everybody's going into this, you know, with your word unexpected and everything else, is like, this is going to be the Empire of this trilogy. This is Empire. This is the darker one. And they release the Porgs. And that actually sounds like a threat. I'll unleash the Porgs. Like, does it feel like they're trying to undercut that Empire expectation already?
Now, that's interesting. You know, or are they trying to undercut that Ewok thing that happened where everybody came out of Jedi? Well, so many people came out of Jedi. Like, oh, they're just cute,
that's
fluffy little
No,
bears.
That's after the fact. I will go to my dying day standing in the breach on that one, because the Ewoks actually weren't very marketed at first. They became a thing when the cartoon and the Ewok Adventure movies came out. Nobody really backlashed against them until that happened. Ewoks became a saturation point after the fact, and then Kevin Smith helped kill their reputation in Clerks.
I don't know. Porgs are already at a saturation point. I can't get away from them in fandom already.
And that's what's interesting to me, is that had to be calculated so to blunt that in some way or get it out of the way. Do you think that they've sort of like clevered us out of this, of letting us have our Porg debate now, and then just by the time the movie comes out, we're like, fine, whatever, we know they're in there, just go.
Right. Well, they'll just almost, it seems like there'll be a second thought. Like, it'll just be, oh, there they are. Okay. Yeah, that's a great question. This is something that, you know, I've been thinking about in light of, like, the EW article and some of the things that they've been releasing about it and some of the things, the pictures that I've seen and already. I haven't even read the article yet, but all this stuff is out there and you can read a bunch of stuff online, too. And the question became, like, does this help with my expectation? You know, because with The Force Awakens, I felt like we got nothing in the sense of we got a lot of marketing, but we got nothing story-wise. And what I'm kind of hearing, you know, and because, again, I haven't read the article yet, but what I'm hearing is that we're actually getting some story elements and bits and pieces about story elements that are important, like about Luke or Rey or, you know, Kylo and Snoke and all of the stuff, Leia, Poe, Finn, you know, we're getting all these things that are kind of setting us up for what we're going to get. And I'm wondering if they're trying to use this as a way to manage expectations so people kind of have an idea of what to expect so that they can maybe their hope is that people will then enjoy the movie better because there isn't such wild expectations. It's more measured as to what is actually going to happen. Hmm. And that's what I've been wondering. And if actually the reading of something like the EW article would help me then as a super fan who can wildly speculate about everything. And instead, maybe it seems like almost that they're trying to focus my expectation then.
Do you like that idea? Do you like the idea of them trying to manage your own expectations?
Well, for somebody who, myself, I do try to not just go in with high or outlandish expectations, mainly because that can hurt my enjoyment of whatever it is they give me. Because in the end, I kind of have to just take what they give me and judge that. And so I wonder if, you know, them kind of giving me a piece of already what that is, it will help me to then just judge what they give me instead of what I wanted. And then, you know, because you go in and you didn't get what you wanted, quote unquote, and then that's what really hurts it for a lot of fans. Hmm. And like, in a lot of ways, I kind of feel that almost makes me feel like I might feel more comfortable with that.
See, for me,
does that make any sense whatsoever?
It makes sense, but for me, that's sort of like hunting through the house for where your parents hid Christmas presents. And I think that can only lead to its own sort of disappointment, because then when Christmas morning comes, you already know, and you already like. It's what's really interesting to me about it, and I don't know if I'm a good person to ask that question, actually, because with Phantom Menace, I was locked down on spoilers, although I did wind up having something spoiled before the film, and I didn't realize it. I dismissed it. I thought that I was like, no, that doesn't sound like that. What's going to happen? It was specifically midichlorians. I read that in a magazine where it leaked out. And I was like, oh, I don't know. I don't know. That doesn't sound like it's going to happen. And then it did. And I was like, oh, they did blow that for me.
Right.
With Attack of the Clones, I made a couple of educated guesses. I knew certain things that were going to happen because I'd heard Lucas specifically talking about the tone poem and reinforcing that idea. And so I was able to call a couple of things, but I stayed completely. I was spoiler free light, where I didn't seek out spoilers, but if I saw something, I didn't worry about it. I was like, whatever. Or if I pieced something together, I was like, hey, okay. With Revenge of the Sith, I read the novelization and I listened to the soundtrack before I went to watch the film, because I knew how it was going to end. There was no question about it.
Right.
I almost wonder if I hit sort of a I don't know whether that was a mistake or not. I mean, I cite, you know, when we were, you know, over on your Trek FM show, 602 Club, we did that whole build up to The Force Awakens. And I always blamed that for my tepid reaction to it at first, because I'd spent a month immersed in everything Star Wars. And so with Rogue One, I had sort of an Attack of the Clones experience where I was like, you know what? If I see something, I'm not going to sweat it. But at the same time, I'm not going to seek things out. You know, and I'm going to, you know, just play it on the low and, you know, mute a couple of words on Twitter and those sorts of things. So I don't know how I've decided with The Last Jedi yet. Like, I'm almost tempted, because this is number three in the cycle. Is it my obligation now just to spoil everything and just go in and, like you said, manage the expectations that way?
And this is interesting, because this is me just in general. I pretty much approach it almost the same way every time, in the sense that I did the same thing for Force Awakens that I did for Rogue One. I didn't seek out information or spoilers, but I would read what officially came out. You know, if it's an article in Entertainment Weekly, they're okay with me knowing that. You know, I'm not going to go on message boards and look for spoilers and try and find somebody who has the script, and, you know, that you can do these days on the internet, because somebody's already, you know, got that stuff. You can go into that territory, but I didn't do that for any of the films. And I think that, honestly, I did see a change in the marketing, because what they did with The Force Awakens and what they did with Rogue One, I feel like, was different. And I think one of the things that was a little bit harmful to me, and why I had such expectations and I didn't really know what to do with them with The Force Awakens, is just because they didn't tell us anything. They were keeping everything so tight, you know, like there was just, I mean, what we knew was that there was Poe and Finn and Rey, and that was kind of it, you know, like we just didn't really know much. This seems more like a measured attempt to allow people to have some understanding of kind of what's happening in this film. And I don't know, I think, again, I'm wondering for myself if that might actually work better, if I kind of have some idea of what's coming. So in that, like you said, with the Porgs, your brain can get used to the idea. So when you go in, your expectations aren't so all over the place that you're just like, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, for me, it is something where the question I come back to is, shouldn't a truly fantastic film essentially be spoiler-proof? For instance, if somebody finds out the big surprise about Citizen Kane, would I say, there's no point to seeing the movie then? No, I still think you should see the film. I still think it's a wonderful work of art. I still think that it stands up. I think that there are a whole lot of other things going on than just that. And so that's sort of where my brain goes. But at the same time, it just seems to me that I wind up, if I don't embrace the spoilers, I almost wonder, I think part of the trap of Force Awakens with me as well was trying to outguess it. And I think that as a result, I mean, you were there. I mean, you know, to talk about our conversations leading up again, when the poster came out and I saw Starkiller Base, you heard my reaction. I was like, wait, what? Like, I was very standoffish. I was like, oh, what?
Yeah.
And it was, you know, and that's something where, you know, over time, you know, I wrote that 6-piece blog series about how I like sort of like came to terms with things and came to love the movie and everything like that. But, you know, like if they're going to have another thing like that, do I want to know going in? I kind of do, because I have a feeling if I hadn't seen that on the poster and I went in and all of a sudden there was a super Death Star, that would have taken me out of it. When it showed up in the film, because I'd seen it before and figured out what it was and everything like that, I was able to say, okay, yep, that was what was in the poster. Cool.
Right. Well, and that's kind of, I think that's probably where I'm coming down with this whole thing at the moment. I'm just feeling like, yeah, I kind of want to read this EW article because I want to have an idea of where they're going. When they did the article for Vanity Fair and they had those beautiful pictures that Annie Leibovitz always takes for the Star Wars films now. And, you know, they gave us the look at the Canto Bite crew, you know, for the first time. Or Laura Dern's character, what she's going to look like, and those kind of things. Like, that stuff's great. I love kind of getting that, and that kind of starts the speculation. And here, again, I almost feel like what they're trying to do is kind of focus the speculation in ways that are going to be helpful for the fans instead of hurtful, so that our expectations aren't so outlandish that we get let down. It didn't go the way we wanted it to. And, you know, it's hard because we do live in this world where we're so oversaturated with information. And what I think it seems like at this moment, Disney and Lucasfilm was trying to do is to manage the information in a way that they feel like will be most beneficial to the fans and their enjoyment of the film. Because that's obviously hugely important to Star Wars continuing. And I think they did a really good job with that with Rogue One, and I think they look to try to continue that now with The Last Jedi.
Well, just as one final thought, I appreciate what you're saying. I think I agree with it, but there's one thing where Rian Johnson was quoted recently as saying his advice, and Mark Hamill, I believe, said the same thing. His advice to fans from this point forward was read and watch nothing else about The Last Jedi leading up to it, which took me a little off guard because we're not even really in the peak marketing cycle yet.
Right.
I know that Rian Johnson understands how online marketing works, and he knows that our timelines are about to get invaded by promoted blah, 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 blah. He's really issued a heck of a challenge, I think. And so I don't know. Like that. That's my X factor. I've already muted a ton of words and hashtags on Twitter and stuff like that. But if people want to pester you with spoilers on Twitter, Matt, where can they reach you?
Well, you can find me on Twitter at MattRushing02 and under Instagram with the same name. You can find me here on the network with Drea Kaufman talking about Harry Potter on Owlpost as we walk through each and every chapter of Harry Potter. You can also find me on the Trek FM network doing The Orb with Chris Jones talking about Deep Space Nine. And as we've mentioned, the 602 Club, our general geek show, where we talk about Star Wars and so many other things. So make sure you check that out. And then I have one more show I'm doing. It's called Cinema Stories. And that's where we talk about film through the lens of faith. So I hope you will check all of those out. Now, John, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you where people can find you online.
Well, you can find me as Kessel Junkie. That is my nom de plume out there. You can also find me right here on the network co-hosting Great Shot Kid, which looks at the technical and inspirational side of the Star Wars creators with Mike Schindler. You can find me also with Mike Schindler over on the Trek FM network co-hosting Stage 9, which is the same thing but for Star Trek. And you can find me co-hosting Words with Nerds with my pal Craig. And with all of that said, Matt, I think there's only one thing left to say. I think it's time to close negotiations.
John, negotiations are closed.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.